Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
The toughest part of that open, I chuckle every time. It's the truth. It is the truth. After I was just destroyed at a basketball camp. Jim's here. Jim Peterson is here. He'll be on, I guess I'm just going to mention, he's on another radio station working with Alan Horton tonight. Is this nationally TV? Is that what we got?
It is. And incidentally, I don't know if you're coming to the game. You tend to show up at these games.
I'm coming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so I was requested by a certain Boston Celtics radio play-by-play guy.
Sean Grandy,
yep. For you to be in attendance before the game to take a photograph with Kevin Harlan and himself, and he wants Grady to be in there as well. I texted Michael. Sean had texted me. I was kind of talk to, you know, the other broadcasters when we go to these cities or when they come to ours so we can get, you know, the lowdown. And Grandy requested your attendance for the photograph. I'm not sure what time it's going to be, but you're setting it up with Kevin Harlan. So
okay. If I can make it, so we're talking pregame. If I can make it pregame, I will. Could we do it, like, right in the middle of the game? You know?
Yeah. Well, maybe come down at halftime. I don't know.
Because you know me, I often, and I am again, going with Dermot. I'm going with my boy Griffin, who you know well, and then one of Dermot's sons.
Yep.
Jake, sometimes we might have a beverage at ODs, and sometimes we show up maybe second quarter. I'd love that.
You might want to be a part of this photograph.
I'd love that. I'd actually thought about that when the Clippers, there was a Clippers game in town where Kevin was also calling it, and because that's Brian Seaman, and I thought, if Kevin's there, Brian's there, I'm there, and Horton's there, outside of just a couple games the first year, that's every radio play-by-play announcer ever in Wolves history. But it did not work out. The Wolves have had a lot of great broadcasters. I'm not counting myself in that conversation.
Really, you are definitely part of them. I say this, you're the best interviewer I've ever been around and have seen. Like, you just are just so good. I mean, just even the rundown of your show. I mean, like, the fact that you can do the New Orleans story and political stories and have me on and have, you know, just Chad, you're a tremendous slouch. But a really good broadcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look just, I mean, yourself and my guy Greg Kelser, who's still working now, right? Quinn Buckner, Len Elmore.
Some years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
JB, Billy McKinney, obviously. Yep. Kevin Harlan is the greatest radio play-by-play broadcaster in football in NBA history, period. End of conversation. That's it. And he's top two or three on the TV side. I mean, there's going to be some playoff game in the next week or two where I'm going to be coming home And it's going to be some close game. And I'm just getting my car. And I'm going to think, I hope Kevin's calling this game. And he probably will be.
Yeah.
And it's just great.
Yep.
And listen, Alan Horton, you're working with tonight.
So
Alan
good.
Is excellent. So Brian good. Seaman was great. So we're all just patting ourselves excellent. On the shoulder.
Yep.
We're all just amazing. And, you know.
And I know you miss it. And it breaks my heart that we can't, but, you know, so we had. Hey, we still have those 4 years together, Chad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's for the right reasons for Quentin Robert Hartman, I left.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
It's my favorite yep. job ever. Who are you talking yep. about yep. here? Dave's talking. Who do we have here?
I don't know who that is, but they're on ESPN talking Cotton Bowl, and the analyst guy they're talking about to New Orleans.
Oh, my God.
Looks like he's got the painted-on suit jacket. I've never seen the gun show through the
yeah.
blazer before.
I mean, he looks tremendous. Who's the most fit broadcaster right now in the NBA? Who just looks tremendous and is in great shape outside of yourself?
RJ, I mean, RJ is pretty good.
Richard Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. He's in pretty good shape.
Very humble, too.
Jim Jackson's in pretty good shape.
Jim Jackson.
Jimmy Jackson.
I did.
Man, he does a great job with the Clippers, man. He's pretty fit. Oh, yeah.
That's if you're listening, Steens. Yeah. I just remember Richard Jefferson because our guy JB was such good friends with him, and he'd come over.
Yeah,
and
I think
he's very good. But my God, Richard Jefferson! That's yeah, he likes himself some Richard Jefferson.
He's probably one of the only broadcasters who would probably realistically show up to a game with just the suit coat on and bareback underneath. He'd be really like Corey Maggette, you know.
You're working radio tonight. Why not?
Do you remember when Michael Thompson was with us and he was talking about, he said this on the air. He was
so
talking
good.
About Corey Maggette, when Corey Maggette was playing for the Clippers.
I do.
And Michael made the comment on air that if he looked like Corey Maggette, he would play the game bareback.
That's exactly right. Bells would say
yeah.
so much stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Bells was so much fun.
Really
we had Michael Thompson, another great broadcaster.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'll just finish. We all miss Hanny. You know, it's still just crazy that Hanny is not with us because, honestly, there's no person on the planet who's made me laugh more than Tom Henman. No one. Not close. And, just all those plane rides, bus rides, and I know you miss them immensely, too. Why don't we do this? Let's pause here, and then let's spend plenty of time on this team, where they're at, because the record isn't as good. It's clear. They were making some progress. Then they played a great Oklahoma City team. They were in it, and then just a horrible run blew them out. And then they play the Celtics, even though the Cavs have a much better record than the East right now. I still think everybody believes the Celtics are the team to beat. So where does Jim Peterson from FanDuel Sports, where does he think the Wolves rank with these teams? What has to get better? What is he like? And if you want to pose a question for Jim, you certainly can. 651-461-9226 on CCO.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Pete's back with us here. I want to read a paragraph from our friend Britt Robson, what he wrote today about MinPost. I think it's a very good recap of where the Wolves are at, because I want to start with the Wolves' main dog, Anthony Edwards. And here's part of what Britt has to say. The uncomfortable fact is that Ant has not been the joyous force of nature And the crunch catalyst so vital to team success the past two seasons, and he knows. He's talking about Ant this year. You can tell by his increasingly salty attitude towards the officiating, his extended bouts of lassitude. That's a new one for me, by the way, lassitude. That he's used primarily pockmark his play with respect to off-ball defense, but has invaded his offensive decision-making and initiation in recent weeks. We judge superstars at an extraordinarily high level. Britt does, I do, you do. Because if you ask teams, would you like Anthony Edwards, everybody would raise their arms, right? And there still is a lot to love, not like, love about Anthony Edwards. He's capable of winning games like he did against Dallas, like he did against Houston, where both those games he was great in the first half, kind of vanished in the second half, but then he can just be a killer at the end. He's also out there, as we've discussed, right now with a starting lineup where they miss Karl Towns' shooting a lot because Mike Conley has slipped back as of now. Rudy, people just don't guard him. Jaden, they don't guard. You know, so he doesn't have as much space as he did. So what is your fair appraisal of a very high bar for Anthony Edwards when you consider from the Towns injury last year through the playoffs, he was one of the best two or three players in the game. And then he's on the Olympic team, and maybe it was unfair, but expectations were extraordinarily high for him this season.
I mean, it's part and parcel of, you just covered it, and Britt does a brilliant job of kind of, you know, elucidating and sort of cutting to the heart of the problem a lot of times. And, I mean, Britt's seen everything. He's been there from the beginning. I mean, yep. He knew him when the team first started, and he's been a brilliant writer and contributor, and the fact that he can be unbiased and be, you know, very surgical with his assessment is evident. And so, I mean, it starts with, you know, the starting lineup and the lack of spacing on the floor that you just talked about. I mean, like, Mike's not having the same kind of season that he had last year. Mike gave you everything he had last year, and he's trying to do the same right now. It's just that it's more difficult, you know, at his advanced age. I mean, he's small and he's older, so he's not quite this. He's still a good defender. I mean, he still, you know, gives you he's such a game plan kind of defender where he's always in the right spots, and you know, he gets picked on sometimes, but for the most part, I think he's been pretty tough. But he's just not making shots. The floater's not even going down for him, which is something that is a little bit of a concern. And that two-man game between he and Rudy have kind of dried up, so that part of the Minnesota offensive ecosystem is sort of not there right now. So not that it can't come back, because it certainly could. And then they aren't grading Jaden. He's so hard on himself. You know, I just feel bad for Jaden because he's not making shots to the same clip that he wants to. And you're right, they're not guarding him. So I would just say, Ant's having a difficult time because there's no driving lanes for him. And that's what he really wants to do, is he wants to attack the basket. So he's an excellent three-point shooter, but it's not the same for him this year because of you don't have Karl Anthony Towns and the gravity that he brought to the floor as well. So whether it was Towns playing off the catch, driving it, and then collapsing the defense, or him with his ability to shoot the three, it's just not the same. So The five-man starting lineup is just not the same. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's pretty plain and simple.
Yep.
And then, you know, when he comes in there and he's playing with Nas and when he's playing with Dante and Nikhil, like, things are more open for him.
It's
when he's
different.
Out playing with those guys. It is different. So I just say that to say, like, you know, I think that Rob Dillingham has a chance to kind of help the cause a little bit, because his ability to handle the basketball.
Who?
It's just that he is.
Who?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, Chris, you know, play him. Come on.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, Finchie's gonna have these things, like, and you know, you kind of forget that in you know, the year that Minnesota, you know, 3 years ago when they played Memphis in the first round, they were sub 500 at this time
right.
3 years ago, and they were when they lost to Denver in the first round as well. They were sub 500.
Yep.
So you know, Finchie's got a way of figuring things out, and so that's just where I, you know, the guy is so smart, and he's. And his staff is so good. I just really feel like that he's going to figure this thing out, and not every season is the same. So, you know, he's somebody that really embraces Julius Randle, and I think that Julius is really doing his best to fit in and trying to figure out a way. It's just different with Julius than it is with Kat. So,
it is. And you know, Chris, 1,000% better than I. I mean, and I have immense respect for him. He's very patient. I sometimes wonder if he's too patient. That's just me. And I get it. You know this better than I. The Carl was traded for many reasons, and the money was a huge part of it. But also Chris really believed in Julius Randle because of their time in New Orleans and just watching
him. Dante was a big part of it. I'm going to get to the Randle part here in a second.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt Dante was part of it. That starting lineup, period and simple, doesn't work. It just doesn't. And I know Julius is playing somewhat better of late. I just still think it makes more sense to me. I said it from like the day after. Start Nas, gets another space guy out there. Then when Julius comes out there, he's got the ball in his hands constantly. Now, that group coming off the bench, those three, Dante and Nikhil and Nas, is working well, and Julius is playing a lot with them. I just think Chris has to figure out the start of the games and just give Ant a little more latitude. And I think Nas would help out so much in that way because they guard him differently than they guard Julius.
Yeah, and he's a .5 guy. Like, you know, when the ball gets into his hand, he is .5 making a decision: pass, shoot, drive.
Yeah, right.
And so when Julius gets it, it's just different. Julius is looking to exhaust every option, I think, before he gives the ball up, whether it's to assess whether he can catch and shoot it, or whether he can, you know, jab step and maybe put it on the floor. Like he's just jab stepping and pump faking and. And so it's not .5 with Julius. And so that's a little bit of a distinction that's a little bit different. So the ball movement. And so, you know, Nas also hasn't really spent a lot of time playing because Minchie's trying to get Julius, you know, acclimated and be a closer. Nas just scored his first crunch time points last ball game against OKC.
Which
Nas
is stunning.
He's got two points in the clutch this year.
Crazy.
For Nas Reed. So, I mean.
See, that's another reason why, because Nas hasn't lived up till last year when he was the sixth man of the year. I just, if it's not Nas for Julius, I don't know what other lineup change is notable enough. Because Nikhil, for a lot of minutes playing point guard, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's bringing Mike. And then I guess you got to worry about the dynamic of how Randle would accept what he view this as. Okay, I'm now the fall guy. If I'm coming off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think something that I think about, which is not completely out of the question, is like sometimes I think Jaden could be flipped out for Nikhil, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, that's who Nikhil comes in for. And maybe Jaden could play some power forward. You know what I mean? Like have him be in a second unit backup to either play the 3-4 combo. But, you know, it's positionless basketball, right?
Yeah.
Who really cares?
That's a quick lineup, right? If you're out there with Nas and McDaniels and Nikhil and Ant and Dante, right? I mean, you're running up and down then.
So, I mean, I don't know. You're kind of limited in some of that because you do have the sensibilities of the players you have to be concerned about if you did flip them out and bring them to the bench. So, I don't know. This is why I say, you know what, though, these things are, I'm going to leave it up to the coaching staff because Finchie's always been that guy that's always figured out these problems. These problems that pop up, he's got the ability to figure them out, and he's going to do it in his own time. And he's been a head coach for so long. He's just seen all these scenarios. So I just think he's going to figure it out, and he's going to pull out of these players, the ones that are on our roster currently, he's going to pull out the best in them, and he'll figure it out by the time playoffs roll around.
I know Karl Towns has his first great point guard. Again, Mike Conley, very good, right, until this year, and he slipped back.
Yeah.
But Jalen Brunson he's just a different cat, man. He's one of the three or four best point guards in the game. So he has helped Karl. But I just got to say it. I didn't value Karl Towns enough. I got caught up too much in the complaining of when you get mad about calls and the gesticulations. And I know he's playing great, but in hindsight, I was too hard on Towns. And I'm not saying Randle can't play and Dante's resurgence and blow up the franchise. I'm just saying Karl Towns, by a lot of us, and I, my hand is in the air, was undervalued.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it, in a lot of ways too. It's just, you know, from his personality, and like, he's just a great person, and he really loved this community, and he did not want to be traded. He was never, he was very disappointed that it happened. And I think in some ways he still, you know, would like to be a Minnesota Timberwolves player as much.
That's
as,
what I was told recently too. Yeah.
As much as his success he's having in New York, and how about him being on the MVP ladder right now too, which is totally justified. He's playing like an MVP candidate. They've just won, what have they won, 9 in a row now? So in New York. So, I mean, he's been a really positive catalyst. And the fact that, you know, Tibbs had already had this relationship with him, and Gerson had too, and like the fact that they knew how to integrate him into the ecosystem. And they were trying to get him last year too. So, like, they've really wanted and coveted Towns. And knew that that's what Jalen Brunson needed. Jalen Brunson needed a floor spacer, and then, you know, it's just a good match for them. And I think a lot of fans here in Minnesota are realizing how great Towns was in so many ways. But it's not to say that Julius can't be, and that you know, the addition of Dante DiVincenzo and the combination of those two, because Dante is the man. Like, I just am really impressed with his defensive toughness and his confidence in his game, and the fact that he's willing to put in the work. And those guys always talk about the work, and like, this dude is like, you know, like, he is an absolute warrior. So, and his contract is very friendly for this franchise too, in a situation where they really need more, you know, franchise friendly contracts on their team.
Yeah. So. And again, I'm not downplaying Randall and DiVincenzo. And by the way, there was a protected number one involved, but we can't forget Carl. After this year, it's 4 years, $200-some million, and money just played a part. It just did, and it wasn't an edict from Taylor, it wasn't an edict from Rodriguez or Laurie, it was Tim Connelly looking at all the limitations you face, and the fact that Tim Connelly, and he knows he's not right every time, but he's not afraid. You know, I mean, and I like that a GM is not afraid. Doesn't mean I agree with them all the time. I still think they gave up maybe one or two too many draft choices for Gobert. But by the way, Gobert changed the franchise too. So there's a lot of things. I mean, I still think Conley's
there's Chad, there's a lot of brain power in this organization.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most brain power that I think this team has ever had. So between Tim and Finchie and the coaching staff and all the people on Tim's side, those guys are really, really hard workers, and they are connected. And, you know, when Tim Connelly calls somebody, they pick the phone up. So,
there is, you know, I agree.
There's a lot to be said about that.
I think they're, in their category, it's top five or six. They also have a team that's a little bit over 500. That's just a fact. You know, they have to play better. And tied to that, the last thing, and I saw this from following Alan Horton on Twitter, this is a 15th straight game where the Wolves have played an opponent with a record of 500 or better. That's a long stretch. That's kind of an undersold part of the Wolves' schedule.
And we're probably playing the two best teams back-to-back here in the league. So you're playing OKC at their place, and that was just an incredible thing to see up close. I mean, as much as I've watched OKC this year, to see them up close, again, the defense is even better than it was last year. They just have all these A defenders all over their roster, and the way that Dagnall's put it all together, that was impressive. And, you know, Boston's been struggling a little bit here too, by the way. So, like, they've you know, the Wolves have gone 5-5 in the last 10. So has Boston. Boston is just really—it's a good basketball team. So this is going to be a good test too on the national stage.
Can I have your parking spot tonight?
Man, I park on the street. I park in the lot. Man, I know.
You should have a parking spot, Dave Harrigan. Believe this? Do you think
a parking spot.
Jim Peterson has a parking spot?
I think Jim Peterson probably gives it away to a lucky fan every night because that's the kind of guy he is.
I would do that. But no, that's not the fact. I expense my parking.
Different story right there.
I park in a good spot. I do park in a good spot.
Okay, so can I go and expense this because I can say I'm going because Sean asked me to show up for a picture?
Yes.
Yeah. Who can? Oh, I'm going to expense it here. Okay. Yeah. Good luck. Good luck on that. All right, my brother. I'll see you down there tonight.
Okay, bud. See ya.
Jim Pete, normally with Michael Grady. As good as it gets tonight, as good as it gets with Alan Horton.
Mm-hmm.
On the Fan or on the app, I don't know.
They might not even know.
Yeah, they might not know, but it's worth checking out because they're great at what they do.